his destiny had also not included having a son, but he had attained one through his seeking and practice. It would also be a variable. If his wish to pass the examination were to come true, although he had not been destined to pass it, everything that Master Yuan Gu had taught him had been proven true. Now he pledged to complete 10,000 good deeds. In 1586, only 3 years after his pledge, as expected, he attained his wish and passed the imperial examination. After this, he was assigned by the imperial government to be mayor of Baodi County, a position that had not been in his original destiny. Previously, he had been destined to be a mayor in Sichuan province, in southwest China, far from Beijing. But now, he was assigned to Baodi County, very close to Beijing, the capital. Baodi is southwest of Beijing and currently in Hebei province. From the book. When I served as the county mayor, I prepared a small book to record my merits and faults and called it the Book of Cultivating the Mind. From then on, every morning when I started to work in my office, my servant would bring the book and have the guard place it on my desk. I would record my every deed, good or bad, no matter how small. At night, I set an altar in the courtyard and put on my official uniform to emulate the way of Mr. Zhao, an officer in the Song Dynasty. I burned incense and reported all my deeds to the heavens. End quote. This helps us to understand how he felt about managing public affairs after he came in to office, of his wish to create good fortune for all those whom he was responsible for. At this time, city or county mayors were chosen by the imperial government. They were not elected. Mr. Liao Fan was a very good county mayor. He refrained from any wrongdoing, cultivated good deeds, and accumulated merits and virtues. At the beginning of his term of office, he prepared a blank notebook and named it the Book of Cultivating the Mind. He used it every day to record his deeds, good or bad, so that he could be watchful over them and thus learn how to discipline his mind. Every day, Mr. Liao Fan handled public affairs and served as an interrogator in the judicial system. This is unlike today, where the judicial and legislative departments are separated. In ancient China, the mayor managed both judicial and legislative cases. He carried the notebook with him wherever he went. When on duty, it would be placed on his office desk. whatever good or bad things he did, big or small. He faithfully recorded them to see when he would be able to fulfill his pledge of 10,000 meritorious deeds. At night, he would go out into the garden and set up an incense altar. In the manner of Mr. Zhao, he then reported to gods and spirits everything he had done throughout the entire day, not hiding anything. Many ancient people followed this practice. They would openly and honestly admit to everything they had done, to be pure in both body and mind. Buddhists call this confessing and apologizing to the public. From the book. Once, your mother was concerned when she saw that I had not accumulated much merit. In the past, she was able to help me in our accumulation of good deeds, and we were able to accumulate 3,000 meritorious deeds. Now, I had made a pledge to complete 10,000 good deeds, and there were fewer opportunities to practice them at the government residence. She worried about how long it would take before my vow could be fulfilled. End quote. Before he became a government official, Mr. Liao Fan was not as busy with work, thus it was easy for his wife to assist him in doing good deeds. As a government official, they now lived in the government residence. In the past, there was little contact between those in the official government and the public, especially so for their family members. Therefore, she was no longer able to help him in cultivating and accumulating good deeds. She worried when they would be able to fulfill the pledge of 10,000 good deeds. From the text. That night, after your mother spoke these words, I dreamed of a heavenly being and told him of my difficulty in completing the 10,000 good deeds. The heavenly being told me that when I became a mayor, I had reduced the taxes on the farmlands. That was a great good deed. And that deed itself was worth 10,000 merits. My vow was already fulfilled. As it turned out, the farmers in Baudi County had to pay a very high tax. And when I came to office, I reduced the taxes on the farmlands by nearly half. But I felt strange and bewildered. How had the heavenly being known about the tax reduction? I still had doubts and wondered how a single deed could be worth 10,000 merits. End quote. After he had become the county mayor, Mr. Liao Fan had reduced the taxes on farmlands by almost half. But he did not understand how a heavenly being could have known about this. Could it really have happened? The amount of the decrease was substantial. Thus, all the farmers in the county had benefited from this act. Actually, far more than 10,000 farmers in the county had benefited this. So this could have easily fulfilled his pledge. However, he was uncomfortable for two reasons. First, how had the heavenly being known what he had done? Second, could this one act really be worth 10,000 merits and virtues? From this, we can see why it is said that a position in the government is a good place to accumulate merit and virtue. Average people usually do not get this kind of opportunity to accumulate such good fortune and virtue. If Mr. Liao Fan had not become a county mayor, how many years would it have taken him to complete 10,000 meritorious deeds? At that time, he had the opportunity to benefit thousands of farmers. Thus, his one good deed was indeed equal to 10,000 merits. It was easy to accumulate merits and virtues, and it was just as easy to commit wrongdoings. For if a public policy did not benefit the populace, but proved harmful to them, then this act would have become 10,000 offenses. Good fortune or misfortune truly depends on our thoughts. The higher our position, the greater the possibilities for creating good fortune or misfortune. A leader of a county can implement one policy, do one good deed that will prove beneficial to all fellow citizens, and accomplish thousands, millions of good deeds. On the other hand, if a leader implemented a policy that proved harmful to the public, then he or she could have committed thousands, even millions of offenses. Average people do not usually have this kind of opportunity. There is a limit to the extent of good or bad we can do. If we hold the position and the status, and thus have the opportunity, we would do well to be cautious in our every action. By cultivating good deeds, we will have a bright future. To do otherwise will ensure that we will fall into the three bad realms. Why? The results from our actions are more extensive and inclusive compared to those of average citizens. From the text. Coincidentally, the Zen master, Xuan Yu, was traveling from Utai Mountain and stopped in Baodi. I invited him to the government residence, told him of my dream, and asked him whether it was believable. Master Xuan Yu said, "If one does a good deed with such a true and sincere heart, without expectation of reward, then one good deed can indeed be worth the merits of 10,000 good deeds. Besides, your act of reducing the taxes in this county benefits more than 10,000 people. You have relieved the suffering of heavy taxes on all these farmers. The good fortune you will gain from this act will surely be great. End quote. Not long after he had his dream, by chance, he met the Zen master, Huan Yu, from Utai, Five Plateau Mountain, and asked him about what had happened. He wanted to know if it was indeed possible. It would be wonderful if something like this was really possible. If it was true that the pledge of 10,000 good deeds had already been accomplished. If it was not true, then he would continue to gradually accomplish the 10,000 good deeds. Master Huan Yu told him that yes, one good deed done with a heart of sincerity can indeed be worth the merits from 10,000 good deeds. This principle, to cultivate one is to cultivate all, was explained in the Flower Adornment Sutra. It is the learning and cultivation of non-hindrance. Why? Everything arises from our self-nature. If the cultivation corresponds with the self-nature, then it can be regarded as cultivating all. If we do good deeds not from our self-nature, but because we are seeking, then we will receive only what we seek and nothing more. If we seek from the self-nature, then not only will we attain what we seek, but we will also gain infinite benefits. What is the nature of the mind? An example which is easy to understand is called purity of mind in the Pure Land School. When our minds are pure, all of our deeds will be kind, will be good. Then we will accumulate far more than just 10,000 meritorious deeds. Amitabha is a name of millions of virtues. As we gradually come to understand the true reality, we will realize that what Master Oe said was logical, that Amitabha encompasses all of the infinite ways of practice. He said, how would we know that if we were able to be mindful of Buddha Amitabha, then we would understand all of the wisdom of the great Buddhist canon. Also, we can attain awakening with the guidance of the 17,100 stories of the Zen school. The practice of Zen Buddhism and the other schools are all encompassed within Amitabha. 3,000 kinds of dignified manners, 80,000 minute courtesies, and 3 divisions of precepts are within Amitabha. all the precepts, all the Buddhist teachings, all worldly teachings are encompassed within Amitabha. All methods, all ways of practice are within this name, for one is all. All is one. However, many people do not yet understand this. When we have achieved purity of mind, then we will have perfectly achieved innumerable methods. There are still many people who do not yet know the infinite methods, the infinite advantages found in the name Amitabha. When we give rise to thoughts, all Buddhas, all Bodhisattvas, all spirits of heaven and earth instantly know them. This one thought arises from our true nature. The true mind has no limits, has no boundary. When we do even the slightest good deed, if it corresponds with the true mind, then no matter how small, it is still infinite. Mr. Liao Fan has yet to reach this level of understanding, has not yet reached this state of mind. He had only benefited the public from the aspect of phenomena. When we do a good deed with a heart of sincerity, then this deed can indeed be worth the merits of 10,000. This is the principle. He told Mr. Liao Fan that yes, indeed, his act of reducing the taxes in this county had relieved the suffering of heavy taxes on all the farmers and had indeed benefited more than 10,000 people. However, Mr. Liao Fan had yet to understand this. As his completion of the 10,000 good deeds was done from the phenomena aspect, if he had done so from his self-nature, if he had cultivated from his true mind, then that one deed would have not have been worth just the merits of 10,000, but of innumerable good deeds. If we see a beggar on the street and freely give him $1, then the merit of this accords with our self-nature. Why? Because at that time, we did not have discriminatory thoughts of others and we, of beggar and giver. We did not differentiate between receiver and giver. We were not attached. In this way, the merits from giving $1 are infinite, for they are the uncovering of our virtuous nature. The merit from giving millions of dollars may be less than that of $1 sincerely given. Why? We have given this money from our 8 consciousness minds. This mind has discriminatory thoughts, has attachments. It is limited, and therefore we are unable to break through this obstruction. However, when we act from our true mind and donate just $1, but have neither discriminatory thoughts nor attachments, then the merit is as boundless as the infinite universe. The reason why our merits cannot compare with those of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas is because of the differences in our minds, the differences in our intentions. The environment changes according to our minds. We, as ordinary people, are very narrow-minded. No matter how much good fortune or merit we cultivate, we will always be bound by our discriminatory thoughts and attachments. These thoughts and attachments no longer bind Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Even when they perform a small deed, their merits are infinite. In understanding this principle, our every thought will be perfect, and our merits and virtues will be infinite. Mr. Liaofan could not even yet imagine this state of mind. So he practiced from the aspect of phenomena and benefited only 10,000 people. From the text. Upon hearing his words, I was overwhelmed with gratitude and immediately gave all my savings for him to take back to Utai Mountain. I asked the master to use the money for a food offering for 10,000 monks and to dedicate the merits for me. End quote. It was rare to see a person like Mr. Liaofan who would, without having to think it over, give his savings to the Utai way places to provide meals for 10,000 monks. Usually, when laypersons wished to be generous, they would donate money for meals for 1,000 monks and nuns. But Mr. Liaofan wanted to do so for 10,000 to fulfill his great vow of 10,000 deeds. During the Ming and Qing dynasties, Buddhism flourished. Thousands of monks and nuns lived on the four great mountains in China. The 10,000 who lived on Utai Mountain was actually not an especially large number. The mountain with the most people was Putao, with around 30 to 40,000 monks and nuns. And there were over 10,000 monks and nuns living on Amei and Jiohua Mountain. These mountains symbolized great conduct bodhisattva and earth treasure bodhisattva, respectively. Mr. Yu explained in his commentary that someone who makes such a quick decision to give generously without the slightest thought of reluctance or miserliness will gain infinite good fortune in return. This generous giving, without the slightest doubt, showed that Mr. Liaofan was an honest official, not at all corrupt. How much money could he have? He gave all of his savings to provide food for 10,000 people. He came from a poor but honest family. And he was very aware, and that he deeply understood the law of cause and effect. He would never have taken anything that was not his, something not readily achieved by most people. While we do good deeds, most of us will only do the minimum. In this case, we might have given $100 and felt very pleased with ourselves. Unlike Mr. Liao Fan, who gave everything he had, a very rare person. From the book. Mr. Kong had predicted that I would die at the age of 53. However, I survived that year without illness, although I did not ask the heavens for a longer life. Now, I am 69. End quote. Mr. Liao Fan was destined to die at 53. It was a very accurate prediction. He would die in his home on August the 14th at the age of 53. He would die in the morning between the hours of 1 and 3. It was in this year that he would undergo a severe misfortune and would not survive. Mr. Liao Fan wrote his book at the age of 69. He had not sought to live beyond 53. However, he passed the year in good health, without encountering any severe misfortunes. It is obvious that the issue of birth and death, of long life, is of utmost importance in our lives. If long life can be sought, what is there that we cannot seek? Without long life, it would be difficult to seek attainment and enjoyment of fame, wealth, prestige, and children. This seeking has to be done properly in accordance with the teachings. It has to be done from our mind, from our heart of utmost sincerity. In this way, there is nothing that cannot be attained. If we were to seek from the outside, as Master Yuan Gu had said, then we would lose both inside and outside. There is nothing that cannot be attained, whether we are Buddhists seeking good fortune or Chinese seeking good fortune, long lives, and children. Indeed, we can seek to attain more good fortune and even longer life, more children and grandchildren. Nothing is unattainable. We have seen that Mr. Liao Fan gained good fortune, long life, and children to totally surpass the constant in his destiny. These were what he gained through cultivation, because these were not destined. From the book. The book of history explains that destiny exists, but it is difficult to be believed by most people because it is very changeable. End quote. The Book of History is one of the five classics. The others are the Book of Songs, the Book of Changes, the Book of Rites, and the spring-autumn annals. Our destiny has been accurately foretold, falling within the calculation of the numbers. The constant predestination does exist, but it is very difficult to believe. Why? There are variables due to addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. Mr. Liao Fan had refrained from committing wrongdoings and began to cultivate good deeds, thereby decreasing his bad deeds daily and gradually increasing his good ones. His act of reducing taxes became one of multiplication, no longer one of simple addition. With this multiplication, 10,000 good deeds were perfectly accomplished in a matter of days. If, however, he had done much evil, then in an instant, it would have become an act of division, no longer one of simple subtraction. Therefore, there are indeed results from addition and subtraction, as well as those resulting in multiplication and division that arise from our thoughts and actions. And it is these that create considerable variance. These are constants, but they are not fixed. They change. The book of history explains that destiny exists, but it is difficult to be believed by most people because it is very changeable. The treatise on response and retribution further explains neither disasters nor good fortune will come without reasons and conditions. We invite them. In other words, they are the retributions or rewards from our past actions. From the text. Destiny is not set, but is created and determined by ourselves. These are all true. End quote. This is also from the book of history, and it stresses the importance of virtuous cultivation, of how variables can surpass the constants. The teachings of ancient sages and virtuous ones are the truth, and therefore they are unchangeable. Thus, then, as now, we call them sutras. When we apply the teachings to modern times, they still hold true. If we do not believe in them and choose instead to follow our own ideas and thus commit wrongdoings, we will only increase our offenses. Even if we were to gain something in the moment, we would only gain something that we were destined to have. If we do not know how to cultivate virtues, then we will not be able to keep what we have attained. Not only can we not hold on to our wealth, we cannot even hold on to our lives. And if we cannot hold on to our lives, then what would be the use of having all that wealth? The world may be beset with disasters at any time. We may lose our lives any moment. Think about it. What is the real value of having anything else? It would all be useless, even if we owned them. It is clearly expressed in the chapter of Universal Worthy Bodhisattvas, Conduct and Vows, from the Flower Adornment Sutra. At the moment of our last breath, we are unable to take anything with us, whether it is family members, friends, prestige, wealth, none of these. What we are able to take with us are the 10 great vows. To constantly keep them with us, never abandoning us, but guiding us to be born into the Pure Land. It is also said in Buddhism that nothing can be carried over to the next life except our karma. These are very important words of caution. Since we know that our karma will follow us like a shadow, we need to be diligent in cultivating good deeds, not to carry our negative karma with us. For to do so will lead us to the three bad realms. Good karma will lead us to be born into the three good realms. Pure karma will result in our being born into the Pure Land. From this, it should be clear what we need to do in our lives. We need to broaden our perception, expand our thinking. Instead of being concerned with trivialities and calculating our gains, our losses. Life is very short. It would be of tremendous merit if we could help, if we could benefit more people. If after reading the teachings of ancient sages and virtuous people, we are able to believe, to accept, and abide by the teachings, then we will receive inexhaustible merits and virtues. If we are unable to believe in the teachings, thinking them unreliable, this is due to our karmic obstacles. Because of them, we will miss out on this unsurpassably rare opportunity. From the book. I came to understand that both good fortune and misfortune are invited by our own actions. These are truly the words of sages and virtuous people. If one were to say that good fortune and adversity are all determined by the heavens, then I would consider that person to be ordinary. End quote. These are Mr. Liao Fan's true words of awakening. Great sages and virtuous people have true wisdom and are able to clearly see the true reality. Buddhas and bodhisattvas are unsurpassed sages. This talks about a constant. What Mr. Kong told of Mr. Liao Fan's destiny was common theory. What Master Yuan Gu taught for changing his destiny were the teachings of sages and virtuous people. Knowing this, why would we need to have our fortunes told? Why would we need to seek fortune tellers to ask how we should situate our houses? We need to believe in the teachings of sages and virtuous people, to know that our destiny is within our control, and that we can create our own magnificent future. From the text. Tianxi, my son, I wonder how your life will be. In any case of destiny, we should always prepare for the worst. Therefore, even in times of prosperity, act as if you were not. When things are going your way, be mindful of adversity. And when you have enough food and clothing, be mindful of poverty. End quote. Mr. Liaofan had his destiny accurately foretold. His son did not. And thus, his son did not know what would happen in his life. In actuality, there was no need to know. Mr. Liaofan